Thanks for listening to the Voice Ministries podcast. To get more information about Voice, or if you are blessed by this message and want to sow into our ministry, go to our website at voiceministries.com.
Yesterday morning, as I don't often, but every once in a while I get on a treadmill and walk it. Yesterday morning, and as I was on the treadmill, I was kind of messing with my balance a little bit and walking, and I started raising my hands and, you know, just to see what kind of balance I had with my knee. You know, I had a new knee put in, and so I was on the treadmill, and when I raised my hands, I just started, you know, immediately started praying, and I just felt the Lord's presence really strong. And I usually don't get so much prophetic words, like downloads, like many of our team and people get, but yesterday I did. And it was pretty powerful, and I could tell it was from the Lord. It was from His Spirit, from His hand. And so I wrote it down, just about probably three-quarters of it. So, Christy, you're going to have to write this out and type this out for everybody if they want it, or you can hear it on the podcast. But so I wrote it down yesterday, and then this morning, early in the morning, I went to the Lord again and kind of finished it up. So this is a strong prophetic word, I believe, not only for our people here, but I think it really has a lot to do with many of us here, but it's also for the body of Christ across the nation. And so this is a prophetic word, and I believe it's a message of hope for all of you. And this is what I heard. Slumber, don't be bound. Don't slumber, don't be bound. My people are beginning to hear. My people are beginning to arise. God has heard your cry. God will deliver you with a strong right hand. Hope is arising within my people. The Lord is opening up doors, and He's opening up doors of opportunity to us, doors of blessing you've been waiting on. Don't slumber, don't be bound. I kept hearing that a lot. Don't slumber, don't be bound. Awake, arise, awake, arise. Don't be fearful, don't be pushed back. You are living in an offensive day, not a defensive day. And I heard strongly, listen, listen, listen. As it was with the sons of Issachar, you will have understanding. God has given you understanding. Walk within your understanding that He's given you. I am about to move greatly in the midst of my people. My fire is about to spread. I am setting up a table before the people of the nations, and they will see that the Lord is good. A harvest explosion is about ready to happen. His table, His food, His pressured region at this table. I am about to displace principalities and powers that have captured regions. Displacement. People will have the time to hear. People will hear for the first time. Apostolic leaders will arise in humility to lead and to flow with the Spirit. Hope will begin to arise in the midst of my people. Many resources will be released to move you forward. Abundance is in your forecast. Abundance is in your forecast. Have faith. Sit at my table. This harvest will be abundant. This harvest will be plentiful. It will be joyful. He wants us to begin to believe and have faith. And then I heard, tears of relief are coming to you. Tears of relief are coming to you. And then when I wrote out tears of joy, soon as I hit the T, the cross was so powerful as I hit that, and the cross just hit me, tears of joy, because you've embraced the cross of Christ. And so that's the word that I have for you. Strong. And like I said, I usually don't get words like that, but it just was a real strong download at once, and I knew that this was from God. I knew that it was for me. I knew that it was for the body right here, and probably many of you that will resonate within you. But He's doing this globally, and that we've been waiting for a great harvest. We've been waiting and praying and persevering. And for some reason, I don't think the harvest is going to be that long, but it's going to be very powerful, very powerful, and it will shift everything. So there you have it. There was one other thing, too, that over the next, like, 6 to 10 years, God is this will be just such a time of abundance and blessing. And, you know, it doesn't go without trial. There'll be trials, but God's going to see you through it, and you're going to begin to, of course, displace the enemy in your life and around you and in your families and in regions. Amen? Amen. Got that out. Thank you. Okay, now we're going to hit, this is the beginning of a message that I have. I shared a lot of this on Tuesday night. I'm going to share it again, and also I've added a little bit to it from Tuesday. And it has to do with spiritual warfare. And I feel greatly that as a people, we need to not just set that on the shelf and say there's no spiritual warfare happening. There is spiritual warfare happening, and it's happening around us, and it's happening many times to us, and it's trying to displace us. But God wants us to come in agreement with the spirit of truth and the spirit of his word, the word of truth, and stand fully in agreement of that and watch what happens when we begin to agree with the things of God. And so what I want to talk about is, what is your reality? What is the reality that you're living in? What is your reality? And a key defining thing about reality is definition of true reality. It just means what you believe, what you think is true. And that's what reality means. A man or woman's reality can differ from different regions, from different places that they live. The dictionary says it defines reality as what is real to you. And reality can be very objective, but it can also be very personal. And so I want to talk to you this morning about what is your personal reality with where you're living and what you're doing. What are you aligning up with? Are you aligning up with the kingdom of God? Or are you allowing certain areas? God wants us to align with the kingdom that's secular, that's human, that's not of God. And God wants us to displace those things through the power of truth, the power of prayer, and the power of his word. So today, I'm just going to share with you a little bit about a personal side of reality. And what my reality, a few times I'm going to share about what my reality is and what I'm going through. But if you look at a reality that I want to first begin with, is found in Matthew chapter 8, verses 5 through 13. And again, this reality was the reality of a centurion. And I want to start with that because I've been reading these three chapters, 8, 9, and 10, quite a bit about all the faith that was distributed during that time with Jesus. And this centurion was amazing, because he wasn't a disciple at that time. He wasn't walking with him, but he came to Jesus and he believed. And if you look, starting with verse 5, chapter 8 of Matthew, it says, "And when Jesus entered Capernaum, a centurion came to him, imploring him and saying, 'Lord, my servant is lying paralyzed at home, fearfully tormented.' And Jesus said to him, 'I will come and heal.' But the centurion said this, 'Lord, I am not worthy for you to come under my roof, but just say the word and my servant will be healed. For I also am a man under authority with soldiers under me. And I say to this one, go, and he goes, and to another, come, and he comes, and to my slave, do this, and he does it.' Now, when Jesus heard this, he marveled." Jesus marveled. Get that word. He marveled. Jesus was astonished at the faith of this centurion. He marveled and said to those who were following, his disciples and those that were with him, "Truly, truly," he said, "I say to you, I have not found such great faith with anyone in Israel. I say to you that many will come from east and west and recline at the table with Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob in the kingdom of heaven. But the sons of the kingdom will be cast out into outer darkness, into that place where there will be weeping and gnashing of teeth." And he's talking about the Jews at that time, because they thought they had the answer. They thought that they were sitting at the table, that they understood everything. And Jesus is saying, "I'm right here, and you don't even recognize that I'm here." But this centurion recognized that I was who shall be done. I just find that amazing. Then it goes on to say, and Jesus said to the centurion, "Go, it shall be done for you as you have believed." In this hour, God's going to increase our belief and our faith. "As you have believed." And the servant was healed that very moment. And I just grab on to 14 there. If you look in your Bibles, it says, "When Jesus came into Peter's home, he saw his mother-in-law lying sick in the bed with a fever. He touched her hand, and the fever left her, and she got up and waited on him." That blows me away, because even Peter, the disciple, his mother-in-law was sick. And at that point, he'd been with Jesus, but none of the disciples healed her or prayed. But this centurion showed up, and he had faith. When we begin to talk about spiritual warfare, it's going to have a lot to do with what you believe. It's going to have a lot to do with your faith and engaging your faith and saying, "Okay, I am going to trust him with everything that's within me. I'm not going to play games any longer. I'm going to trust Jesus and his word." And that's what that story was about right there. That was a centurion who was paralyzed. It's almost like life caught up with this guy. He was at home. He had a servant that was paralyzed, and it says he was being tormented. And he knew and he heard about the things of Jesus. And so he went to listen. He went to speak to him. And he went to, in faith, so that Jesus could heal. Many times in the personal side of reality, what seems real to one person is not real to another. That happens many times with me. What seems real to somebody else, what they're going through, doesn't seem like reality to me. But it is real for them. And it was real for the centurion. And it is real for you. Whatever you're going through, it's real for you. And you need to speak it and bring it to the Lord Jesus Christ. For he's the healer. I want to encourage you in that. Now, I shared this on Tuesday, that everybody has a different reality and different perspective. And so we have to take that into consideration. I used a real bizarre kind of example as an Eskimo that's living in Antarctica. Living in an igloo, has a dog team, does hunting. He has to hunt to survive for his family. And then the guy that's living in Antarctica comes to a businessman who's living in New York. There is a huge difference between the two, a big difference between the two. And this, the guy in New York is dealing with skyscrapers and living in a cement kind of jungle and taxis and everything else. You know, it's a different environment to the guy and the gal that's living up in Antarctica. There's an extreme difference, but it is their reality. And that's what's real to them. You take the guy from New York and put him up there, he's not going to last long. And I guarantee you, the guy from Antarctica going to New York is not going to last long. And so the realities are different. And this is key for me, because as we begin to walk in spiritual warfare, different ministries and different people are living in different realities. Different realities. And when we consent to a certain reality that might not be anchored in the spirit of truth, in the spirit of God's word, we're going to begin to start living in that reality. And that reality can take you further away from God. Many times, Josh and I were talking about this, and the world will go farther, closer, away from the Lord, and the church doesn't go all the way, but it takes a couple little steps, and it gets closer. And all that time, it's beginning to move away from the reality of the kingdom of God and the word of the Lord, and having that living within your life. And so that's what we're going to be talking about this morning, the reality that we're living in. And you have to check yourself and see where you're at so that you're walking in the ways of the kingdom. It's a principle. Whatever society, I wrote this down, or a group of people agree upon, that usually establishes where they're at. So if they're not agreeing upon the spirit of truth and the word of God, it's going to establish them away from the things of God and you and your family. It's very strong. There's a spirit of the Antichrist is more than a man to be Antichrist. There are many people that are anti-Christ. And that's beginning to happen. There's a replacement theology beginning to happen in some movements. And they're replacing things and not standing upon the word of the Lord. And so the Antichrist is in the midst of many of us. I'm believing it wants to control us. You can even apply that to your own life. What is it in my life that I'm believing or embracing that is anti-Christ? To think about that, because it's a spirit. And it's moving across the land. It's already here. That's trying to get us further and further away from the truth of Jesus. Now, man can come up with almost anything, and they can almost create anything. Man is, and women are created in the image of God. And if you turn to Genesis chapter 11, verse 6, the Lord speaks to that in his word. He says, anything that you almost believe that you can almost do. And it's a real, it's an honest, it's the word of God. So whatever men or women begin to agree upon or think that they can do something, they can accomplish it. It's pretty amazing. And he speaks of this in Genesis chapter 11, verse 6. He says, the Lord said, behold, they are one people, and they have all have the same language. And this is what they began to do. And now nothing which they purpose to do will be for them. He's speaking about the Babylonians, but they were created in the image of God and they believed and they created something. I would have to tell you, and I'm sure that you believe this too if you're old enough to know it, but The fact is that when people said somebody was going to land on the moon, everybody scoffed at that and said, that's not going to happen. We did it. When people said there's going to be little black boxes and you're going to communicate across the entire globe and see people and be able to talk to them, nobody believed it. But with man, anything almost is possible. And so when I say that, you see how dangerous it is to get away from the word of the Lord and the scripture and the kingdom, because we can almost accomplish anything. And God said that we could. But the fact is, that's why people are moving farther and farther away from the truth of the word of the Lord. And I've got, and as an individual and as a father and as a shepherd, I have got to just trumpet this and say, no, no, no. Draw near to him and he, men and women can help you. This understanding is important because we acknowledge and know that, okay, men and women can almost accomplish anything. As we come in agreement with the standards and the principles of our culture, the culture of the kingdom of God, this will definitely change our families and change society around us. And that's what we've been doing from the very beginning at Voice Ministries. It's all been about intimacy. It's about seeking first the kingdom of God. It's been about, you know, we love to see people that minister here minister out there. It's not a thing where we're trying to gravitate and hold on to everybody. No, you're part of Voice. You shouldn't be doing that. No. The kingdom culture is about all of us in the body of Christ and ministering. And we need to be to understand that. We do need to be faithful here to this ministry, but that doesn't mean that we can't go out and minister the kingdom of God wherever God leads us, and we want that to happen. Matter of fact, if anybody does, then that's part of our inheritance as a ministry. Amen. I'm amening myself up here. Don't usually do that. Amen, amen. That was the good guy on that side, you know. So this is what warfare is understanding, and that's why I want to bring it up. The warfare is centered on the fact that we can move in a place of our culture of understanding. And see, the devil, the enemy, Satan himself, he definitely wants us in that group that's moving farther away from the culture of the kingdom. And to me, that's probably one of the biggest lies for the church, is that everything still is okay. No, it's not okay. If you're walking further away from Jesus, it is not okay. And the alarm should go off in each and every one of us. And he wants you to think that this is how Christianity functions. This is all right to do this and to do that, and it's not. Okay, the fact of divisions and living in sin, spiritual lukewarmness, that becomes a reality. And sometimes that reality is provided by the church. There are promises yet to be fulfilled with God's people, and that's what I believe that prophetic word came from. Therefore, our agreement must be, listen, our agreement must be with God's plan and not your plan. It must be for a holy, undivided church, not a divided church. And that's going to happen. God promised it. He's calling us to establish his kingdom and not be part of the status quo, as many churches have become. I love the church, he loves the church, and he's after the church. And in this great harvest, I believe many churches that are kind of moved away are once again going to be red hot for Jesus. The church, when Jesus returns, is found in Ephesians 5:27. If you want to look there, if I can get there. 5:27, this is the church when he comes back to rule and reign, and he's coming. That he might present to himself the church in all her glory, having no spot or wrinkle or any such thing, but that she would be holy and blameless. This is a victorious church. That's a victorious church. And before it's over, that victorious church is going to be found on the earth. And it's going to be different than it's ever been. I love amens when people amen. I remember I was in a church a long time ago that when somebody would amen, they'd get a scrowl. How did I know that? Because I amened and got a scrowl. So it's like, you're not supposed to amen in here. Anyway, that's another story for another time. But I love it. I love it because what we're doing is we're coming in agreement. That's all we're doing is coming in agreement and saying, yes. You know, Jesus is the one that we focus on. We're all just vessels being used by God. When somebody gives a great message or God uses them, I say, great vessel, great vessel. I don't say you're great because we know that he's great, but we're great vessels of God because the Holy Spirit lives within us. So before the father returns, he promised his son a bride without spot or wrinkle. And this bride, this body of Christ, is going to be a massive, powerful witness in the earth when it happens. And it's coming. It won't be long. So let's get into the understanding of spiritual warfare a little bit more. If you'll turn to Revelation chapter 12, verse 7 and 8. I read this. It impacted some folks Tuesday night, and I want to share this again, and just hopefully that you'll catch it. Revelation 12, there it is. And this is a big understanding of spiritual warfare, because the warfare is about displacement, and that's why I want to focus on this. If you look in chapter 12, starting with verse 7, it says, "And there went his angels in heaven, Michael and his angels waging war with the dragon. The dragon and his angels waged war, and they were not strong enough, and there was no longer a place found for them in heaven." There was no longer a place found for them in heaven. Okay, now in spiritual warfare, it's not like human weaponry, you know, where you can take somebody out with a pistol. I don't see anywhere that demons are destroyed. They're not taken out. So what is this scripture saying? This scripture is saying they were moved out. All of a sudden it says there was no longer a place found for them, or there was no room for them any longer in the heavenly realm. No room for them. What happened? What took place so that there was no room? How did that happen? Well, it's called the war of displacement. Because the angels, the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit came into agreement about what took place, they were displaced and moved away from that area. And there was no longer any room for them and for me, heavenly place. Now, that has to be the same thing for you and for me. That there is no room for them in who we are. There is no room for them to take up residence. There is no room for them to keep lying to us day after day, night after night. There's no room. And greater is he that's in us. And so we're living in a time of spiritual warfare that has more to do with displacement than anything else. It has more to do with agreement with the spirit of truth and the spirit of the word of the living God. And as we come in agreement with that, the enemy can have no way in our lives. And this is warfare. This is warfare. This is the beginning of warfare. I want to do another message on the accuser of the brethren, because that's huge warfare. If we're going to get to that place to be ready. I told you at the beginning of the year, I'm going to speak on the Holy Spirit and the power of God's truth in the midst of a battle. Amen. So, Jesus was filling the spiritual territories once held by Satan, once held by him. I wrote this down. Whoever controls reality, reality wins. Whoever controls the reality of God, whoever controls that. In the scripture in the New Testament, there was no word the Greeks had for reality. And so guess what word they used for reality? Truth. So truth in the New Testament was reality. And that's where we have to live. That's where he's calling us to live. That's why we war each and every day. Our flesh wants to go one way. The Spirit of the Lord is warring against that each and every day. The war of displacement. Our battle is not physical weaponry, as I said earlier. And we've heard this around. I've heard Lana and Dave and Stan, and a lot of people speak about this. But it's the power of agreement. It's the power of agreement is how you displace the enemy. That you agree with what God has to say for you and to you. When we come in agreement with Jesus, places, things begin to change. People get healed. Places, things begin to move. We come in agreement with the Spirit. The powers of darkness can no longer hold on when we come in agreement with the truth of the living God and the power of God. The body of Christ needs, I guess I should say it this way. The body of Christ needs aggressive agreement. Aggressive agreement. To become aggressive about agreeing about the truth. You know when the enemy or things begin to come through your filter, and you know that it's not of God. And you need to get aggressive regarding that. Speaking life. That's why the accuser of the brethren is so important. Because we can come right in agreement with that and start beating up on the body of Christ. God hasn't called us to do that. He's called us to speak life into people and over people. The will of the Word of God. When we come in agreement with the Lord, again, He displaces the power of darkness. We come in agreement with the will of the Word of God. The presence of God begins. Grace. And I believe that we have not seen great revivals, and I'm thankful for every healing, everything that takes place. I'm thankful for all the tools God's put in our belts to help the body of Christ. But I believe that if we can come into agreement with God's word and what He's doing, we're going to see great movement in the place of miracles and signs and wonders take place, because we're in agreement with His heart and we're not disagreeing any longer. And now powerful revivals take place and healings take place. But when the church is passive, listen, when the church is passive, the powers of hell increase in our midst. We can no longer be passive. We've got to be aggressive. We've got to be aggressive. We can't let them rule. Crime and marriages and lawlessness and carnality begins to increase because we've allowed the enemy. We're listening to the enemy. Agreement with God establishes the reality of the kingdom within you and on the earth. Now we get to the crux of the matter, because this is the devil, and it's found in John 8:44. And I shared this, and I just want to hit this again. The devil is a liar. The devil is a liar. He's real, but he is a liar. And he's the father of lies, that it says in the scripture. He wants to corrupt and control your mind and all of your influence. That's his desire. He wants you to, remember when we went back, we were in Genesis 11, he wants you to build your life more on the illusions of man than the power of the gospel of God and the kingdom of God. The illusions of, oh, what could we do? We could do this, we could do that. He wants you to build that way. And God's saying, no, you build upon the word of the Lord and the spirit of truth. The biggest lie is believing that this world is the way that it is. The biggest lie is believing that this is how it is, this is how we're going to live. That's false. This is not how we're going to live. This is not how we're going to go forth. Reality is truth, and truth needs to have its way within us so that we can war. The Holy Spirit was sent to us to live a different reality than what we see around us, in which Jesus would dwell and be in our midst. Are we fully embracing the word of truth? We're brought into the reality of God Himself. Our weapon is His Spirit and the power of His word having its way. Jesus said in John 6:63, He says that my spirit is life, and that the sword of the Spirit will have its way within us. Our spirit and life. It says that His words are spirit and life. His words are spirit and life. When we take that as reality, and that is truth, Jesus said His words are life. Our truth, and He's saying basically, everything I've spoken to you is the substance of the meaning of what true reality is all about. Everything that I've said to you in my word is reality. It's the substance of the meaning of Christ's words. And it should represent everything that we do and everything that we are. Living in the spirit of the kingdom of God is living in the reality of God's word and allowing His spirit and His words to give life to us. That's what we're walking in. That's what we desire as a people. That's spiritual warfare. There's many, oh my gosh, there's so many books and things on spiritual warfare that you can read. Some of them I agree with, some I don't. And through the years, because we've been in the trenches dealing with a lot of folks that have been bound and some possessed and things happening, the things that we've learned is that stronghold is there because of the fact that they are living in a lie. And when truth comes in there, the spirit of truth, it deals with that stronghold. And I've always said this: if you allow a lie within your life, the enemy has no problem of trafficking in that area and wanting to build that area, wanting you to be even further away. You know, if you're in bondage of some kind of addiction in here, if you're in bondage of pornography or any of those things that are can be really addictive, you need to know that you're just opening up the door to what the enemy wants to have for your life. And God wants to free you of that and bring you into that place. Now, there's many different scriptures. I'm going to give you a few. Hold on back there. Forgive us. I'm going to shoot a bunch out here. But 1 John 1:9, if we confess our sins, he is faithful and righteous to forgive us of our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. That is a truth I want you to hold on to. Some people say, well, that's kind of basic. No, it's not basic. It's reality. But thanks be to God who always leads us. This is 2 Corinthians 2:14. But thanks be to God who always leads us in his triumph in Christ and manifests through the sweet aroma of the knowledge of him in every place. Woo! Right here, right now, because of Jesus, we have victory. 2 Timothy 1:7, which is a huge one for me and many of you. For God has not given us a spirit of fear, but of love, power, and a sound thinking mind. We do not fear the threats of the enemy. We live in the place of truth, and we don't live in his ways, and his lies are not going to be in us. Hebrews 2:14-15 says, through death he might render powerless him who had the power of death, that is, the devil, and might deliver those who through fear of death were subject to slavery all their lives. God wants us free of that, and he has the power to deliver us. He rendered the enemy powerless through the power of the cross of Christ. The word of God can break into Satan's lies. The word of the Spirit of truth can break in to Satan's lies and displace them from your life. Displace them. How many want that in here? Everybody better say, yeah, everybody better jump around. We're coming after you to help you. If you didn't raise your hand. We're coming after you. Luke 10:19 says, behold, I've given you the authority to tread upon serpents and scorpions and over all the power of the enemy, and nothing shall injure you. I'm not talking about diamondback rattlesnakes. I'm talking about the authority that God gives each and every one of us. Don't misconstrue this word. It's about the authority that you have as a believer. Jesus has given you authority over all of Satan's power so that he would not injure you. All things, you know, Romans 8:28, all things work to the good. As hard as many trials have been in many of your lives, many have lost loved ones, went through things in your life, good. Somehow you just need to know that God still has your back, and God still is going to bring about everything to the good somehow, some way. And no matter what kind of loss we've experienced, we have a promise living inside of us and a promise from Jesus that there will be a great reunion someday and we will be together. That's truth. That's not anti-Christ. That's truth. God has a plan. 1 John 3:8. This is a pretty powerful thing. You have been set free. Each time you speak your faith, you are establishing your freedom as a true reality. As a true reality. The centurion believed. He had faith. If you read through those several chapters as I've been reading through, it begins to stir within you. Faith, 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 faith begins to arise. And the negative things and the you know, how would I say it? Whatever lukewarmness that you might have, you know, attached yourself to, it begins to decrease. And God wants to rise up in you. Think of the prophetic word that I received. God wants you to rise up. That's for us, everyone, to believe and to know that that's available to us. Wow. I think I'm going to, no, you know what? 1 John, let's go to 1 John 4:6-8. I think I'm going to close there. If I have Michael or... I don't know who's... Michael, are you out there? Anybody out there? Okay, Betsy. All right. Come on up, Bets. Michael's not been feeling well. Okay, 1 John 4:6-8. This is a reality, okay? This is what God is calling us. This is not the accuser of the brethren. This is just a reality. It says, we are from God. He who knows God listens to us. He who is not from God does not listen to us. But this we know, the spirit of truth and the spirit of error. Beloved, and this is it. Beloved, let us love one another, for love is from God. And everyone who loves is born of God and knows God. The one who does not love does not know God, for God is love. That is so powerful. Individuals, families, coming back and asking God for help. Repenting, coming back, living in the place of truth, allowing God to have his way. If we don't know the love of God and it's not in us, then we're really not walking in what God has for us. And this needs to be our reality for what we believe that God's going to do in the future, not only in our families, but in this region, in this ministry, and moving forward. Building in the spirit of truth and advancing his kingdom and becoming a kingdom culture has everything to do with Matthew 6:33. To seek first the kingdom of God. That's when you seek first the kingdom of God, you're displacing the enemy. You're displacing what man has built. You're displacing that, and you're beginning to seek first the kingdom of God and all his righteousness. And then for many of you, all things shall be added. That's why I believe that this is a beautiful season that's coming for many of you. The season of opportunity, the season of abundance, the season of shifting and changing, because you're seeking first the kingdom. That's your desire. And that fiery love that we're praying about and talking about is going to fuse us together. That fiery love is going to fuse the body of Christ together to be very dangerous in that place moving forward. Matthew 6:33 again. When you seek first the kingdom of God, listen, when you seek first the kingdom, that means any small ministry, any big ministry, it doesn't matter what's out there, you're saying yes. Because the kingdom of God is advancing, because you're seeking first the kingdom. So there should never be any jealousy in us about any ministry or anyone else, because we're seeking first the kingdom. If we seek first the kingdom, then all self-preservation to do our thing and build our thing dies, because there's no longer any competition. We're not in this, you know, to be a part. Well, I want to have, you know, stage ministry. I want to be part of this. No, you're about advancing the kingdom of God, because that's what you're seeking. And that brings peace and that brings joy to your heart, because it's not about you anymore. It's all about Jesus. And it will always be about him. So spiritual warfare, the beginning of spiritual warfare is to agree with the spirit of truth and the word of God. And displace the lies. And he will come to you many different ways and speak truth to you. We didn't have all the tools that we have today when I was going through a terrible, terrible time. And I just laid the Bible on my chest. And I trusted the Lord. And the Spirit of truth came and spoke to me and freed me of many different things. This great harvest is coming. This is going to be something else. It's going to be something else. And I did write this down because I believe that there's going to be apostolic leaders that are going to rise up that know how to steward a movement of the Lord through humility. Establish all about them. It's all about Jesus. It's going to happen all over the earth. Houses of prayer established all over the earth. Why don't you stand? I think God wants you and wants all of us, myself, to make a decision about what reality do you want to live in? What reality do you choose? If this is a day that you're just choosing truth, you want the truth, you want to live in the reality of God's word, you want to step not closer to the things that are moving away from God, but you want to step closer to God, let that happen today. You can, today, once again, you can say yes again to God. It's funny how hard we work to establish things or do things. When you come in alignment with the Spirit of the living God, and he's ready, and you're ready, he'll move mountains on your behalf. He'll move things quickly and move you into the place of abundance and opportunity fast. I believe there's so many opportunists in this room about the kingdom of God. I believe that. I believe that you guys are radical people. You are blessed people. You've chosen Him. So I just want to pray over you. And if you feel led to come to the altar, you can. But I just want to pray what I would call just an apostolic blessing over you today. And it has to do with the word that I received. And I pray that the Spirit of the living God will sear this and burn this with a fire down in you. That you're not going to live in defense anymore, but you're going to move in the offense. And you move in the offense by the love of God. By the love of God. Amen? Let's pray. Well, Lord, I just come before you, and I thank you for the men and women that are here this morning. Lord, you were saying loudly, don't slumber, don't be bound. God, I ask that you would awaken all of us to your word. Jesus Christ, that we would stand in the fullness of your truth, that Jesus Christ is the true Son of God and he is our Lord, that we will not be bound. God, we're beginning to hear. I ask, God, that all of our hearing would increase, that your people would begin to arise. They've already started. God, let them hear. God, let them hear your cry. And let them cry out to you. God, you are our deliverer, and you will deliver us. Jesus, Jesus, bring forth your truth today. Holy Spirit, cause hope to arise in everyone's life here. Let hope arise. Let hope arise. Let hope arise. God, let our faith increase like the centurion. That you're opening doors right now. We come before you. We lay it all down, God. Doors of blessing that are waiting to open. We come in agreement with you, God. We arise in you. Thank you, God. We listen. Holy Spirit, holy fire of God, stir within us, strengthen us. Prepare us to come to the table of abundance, the table of your presence. God, I pray, raise up your church in Michiana to displace the principalities and powers over this region. In Jesus' holy name. In Jesus' holy name. Jesus, you rebuke them. Let your people arise. Let your people arise. Let hope begin to fill this room. Yes, Jesus. Jesus says, I am setting a table before you. I am setting a table before you. Yes, God. Yes, Jesus. Day and night, night and day, God, let the incense of our prayers arise day and night, night and day, and that we would proclaim wherever we are, worthy is the Lamb, worthy is Jesus. Jesus, take your rightful place in our hearts, whatever we've held on to. Jesus, speak your truths to our minds. May your fire spread throughout this ministry in this region, God. Let it spread. Just proclaim your thankfulness to God right now. No matter what your situation is, just thank Him right now that you know Him. Thank you. Thank Him for His word.
and for the Holy Spirit, the power of God living inside of you. We want more. Fire consume, burn within us. Equip us, prepare us to stand firm in your truth and your word, God. For the first time, I'm believing that in Jesus' holy name, you're going to begin to hear for the first time his voice through his word and through his spirit. Just pray that over everyone in this room, that hearing will increase from this day forward in this house, that hearing would increase from this day forward, the spirit of truth and the word of God. From this day forward, more God. More. We pray this in Jesus' holy name. Amen.